So what is it that makes a father a happy father? You know, I think there's a lot of things that make for a happy father. You know, it's the trophies that he brings home. I tried to point these trophies out to my grandchildren today, and they couldn't hardly see them. They're so minuscule. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've gotten trophies that are this big, you know. So, and they have to keep renting storage space to put all of their trophies. And this is all I have to show. And then the one that's in the middle actually is of a basketball player, and my family would know that wouldn't be a trophy that I'd win. That's actually a trophy that some Calvary basketball players won at the YMCA back in 1937. So, Leon, were you on that team? So, I think you were probably too old then to play, right? No, I'm kidding. There are a lot of things that make a dad a happy dad. 10 years ago today, I was with my boys at the U.S. Open down at Torrey Pines, and that was really a happy day to be out there walking the golf course. When that was the last time Tiger Woods won a major before he ran into a 9-iron, and if you know your history, you know that wasn't a pleasant experience. But there's just so many things. Sometimes a father is happy when his children are excessively happy when they graduate from high school or college, or when they get their first real job and they begin to no longer be financially dependent upon dad and mom. That's a happy thing. It's a happy thing when your kids get married, when they have their own children, and you beam with joy. These are just happy, happy days when you feel like the fruits of your labor have been acknowledged. And man, that's special. But there are probably even there's things that are even deeper to make for a happy dad. That goes way beyond acknowledgments, goes way beyond degrees and employment and titles and fame, many other things that go even deeper. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, verses 15 to 25. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 648. Page 648. Page 648. I'm going to read from the New International Version, which is that version of the Bible that's in front of you. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. Now, I thought it was really great. As George read today, he read from Proverbs chapter 3. And it would be wonderful to go back to that. And I believe it was verse 6 that says, don't be wise in your own eyes, because that really wouldn't be wisdom. But here, as a father would look on, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. Don't join them. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad, and may she who gave you birth rejoice. Let's pray. Father, as I pray right now and as I speak for a few minutes, I'm mindful that we are a mix of people in this room who maybe have all sorts of different thoughts. For those women here who aren't fathers, I pray that they wouldn't just let this be an event just for dads. And for dads and those who aren't dads yet, or maybe as they look back, they've suffered the loss of a child. I pray that all of us would just take this moment to consider what really should matter in the life of a dad. We thank you for fathers, our fathers and fathers in this place, who have so invested in their children that regardless of what we accomplished, they were just really glad to know that that their children were walking in righteousness and walking in the Lord and in his truth. And I pray, Father, that right now you'd help each of us engage with the things that we know that these things matter to a earthly dad, but we know that they're in your book, the Bible, because they matter to you, our Heavenly Father. And so, Father, for any of these things that have taken place in our lives or in the lives of the people we love, we pray that this would be a happy day. Though you aren't limited by time, may it be truly a glad thing in your heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn for a moment to, maybe for a few moments, to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, Chapter 10. I was thinking about, I had a long, long list of things that would be things that would please the Lord. And I kept on working on that list, and I think I pared it down to 10 things. And I could hear my wife and I could hear Dennis saying, "Not really." And then I limited myself to 10 bullet points, no, 6 bullet points in your notes. And I don't know what I'll have time for this morning. It won't be more than that. But so if these are just for things that you might want to jot down. If you hear something other than what I give as a lead point, that's okay. You just, the things that make a dad really glad. This list comes initially from four expressions in verse 12. As God says to Israel, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" My dad said to me, and I believed him, and I probably live this way. He said, "I don't care what kind of grades you get. I don't care if you get A's. I don't care if you get B's. I don't care if you get C's. I really don't." He said, I'm really concerned about your conduct. And if you come back with a bad grade in your conduct, we're going to have an encounter. So this expression, what does the Lord your God, here in the NIV it says, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But it's a stronger word than ask. It is the word require. What does God require of you? There are times in God's word, like in the book of Micah, the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. It says there as well, what does God require of you? But to love justice and mercy and to walk humbly with your God. These are requirements that God has for us. Jim Smotherman and a couple of other guys and I meet on Wednesday mornings for breakfast, and we're doing a study in Tim Keller's book called Generous Justice, and we believe this is probably going to stretch us greatly. And in that first chapter, it begins with this verse: "What does God require of you, but to love justice and mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" So here, as Moses sums up the law and the children of Israel are about to go into the land of promise, Moses summarizes this, and these words keep, this thought keeps coming up throughout the book of this book of Deuteronomy. As God says, remember what the requirements are. And here they are. What does God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today, all for your own good. What does the Lord your God require of you? The first bullet point, if you want to write it down, is this expression, is to fear the Lord your God. It's like, right, this is the top of the list. Fear the Lord your God. I want my children, I deeply desire my grandchildren would grow up to fear God. I can remember one of our friends sitting there saying, he used to come here all the time, David, the clapper. As soon as I'd say, fear the Lord, he'd say, I don't fear the Lord, I love the Lord. Well, that's good. That's two things down here. Love the Lord your God in the list. But fearing the Lord, God says it in the Old Testament, and he says it in the New. Fear me. Fear the Lord your God. It would be a very unwise and very unfruitful and very unhappy person that actually didn't fear the Lord. The expression to fear the Lord is to reverence him, to reverence his presence, to recognize that he's here. Right now, as I'm speaking, he knows what you're thinking. He knows it completely. When you leave, when you drive in your car, when you walk, when you're walking along the way, when you're speaking with your family, when you're having a disagreement with somebody in the family or a friend, when you're struggling with a boss and you're thinking and you're thinking and you're thinking and you're imagining, the fear of the Lord says, I recognize, Father, that you are here right now and you are watching and weighing everything I say and think and do. As a dad, I couldn't be happier to know that my kids fear the Lord. Not be afraid and avoid him. Fear the Lord in such a way that they're actually drawn to him. Yesterday, I was in this memorial service. I was thinking and reading scripture that I've learned to really love, and it might not sound like an expression about the fear of the Lord, but it's from Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, and The New Living Bible helps me really understand it. But Psalm 116 in the New Living says, and you've heard me say it many times, I love the Lord because he hears my voice. And because he stoops down to listen, like a parent stoops down to listen, or a grandparent whose hearing isn't as sharp as it used to be, and it's tough to hear the sound of that little child's soft little voice, says, I love the Lord because he stoops down to listen to me. Doesn't that amaze you? That God stoops down to listen to you? It kind of goes along with Psalm 139. Psalm 139 that says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You actually go through my life with more interest than any parent could ever have in their child. You go through my life. Not because I'm great stuff, not because I'm the hottest thing on earth. It's because you love me. Like Moses writes in me, don't think for a moment that the Lord loves you or is showing his love to you because you are so great and so numerous and so righteous and because you're the best nation on earth. Don't think that that's the case. It's because he just purely has chosen to love you. The fear of the Lord is actually, it draws a person, it draws our children to him because he cares so and he knows us so intimately. A dad that's glad is a dad whose child recognizes that he's present and they fear the Lord. Do you ever have a child that every time they were about to do something bad, they turned around and looked at you? They kind of thought you weren't watching, but then maybe just for a split second, they went, you know, and suddenly it changed. Come on. I think you by just that quick little response you had, you probably know what I mean. It really is very, it's a very revealing thing. It's a really sad thing if they look at you and then they go, oh, I'm going to do it anyway. But the fear of the Lord is this, it's this wonderful thing that we become just instantly aware that God, this righteous, holy, loving God is present. And we change our behavior. Fear of the Lord is a great thing. And a dad who's glad is a dad whose child is living up to this requirement. And then it says that the next thing on the list is to walk in all of his ways. To walk in all of his ways. I want you to turn with me, please, to the back of your Bible. Turn to 3 John. 3 John chapter, just not even a chapter, it's only one chapter. 3 John, verse 4. Here's this old man, the Apostle John, probably in his 90s. He's in 1 John, he talks about, he calls all these people his children. And so he's referring to his spiritual children. Now look what he says in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. How do you know your dads or the son or daughter of a dad? How do you know your children are walking in the truth? And what dads, what are you doing to make sure that they walk in the truth? It's going to involve, we all know it's going to involve things. If my kids and my grandchildren are going to walk in the truth, they first of all have to spend time, of course, in his word. Think of what Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. This is truly the Lord's prayer. John 17, verse 17. Jesus is praying to the Father for his kids, for his disciples. He is just hours away from probably his trial before the Sanhedrin and then before Pilate. And in John 17, verse 17, this is what Jesus prays. He says to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart. May they be different than all these people that they grew up with. May they be different than these spiritual wannabe leaders in Israel. Sanctify them, set them apart as my kids. Set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus had been praying in this prayer, Lord, I gave them the words that you gave me. Set them apart in truth. Kids who make their dads glad are kids that whose dads presented the word of God to them in a way they could know and understand it. Kids who make a dad glad are presented with the word in such a way that it's not hammered into their heads and said, you better get this straight, kid. It's presented in a way that is palatable and that is understandable according to their bent, according to the grain of their personality. A dad who understands this doesn't just say, you better get this or else. But a dad who will say, what does this mean to you? You know, maybe it would be good if you dug into the scripture and just found out what God has to say about your relationship to a young man or a young woman. Maybe it would be good if you just understand, you stop and try to figure out what the word of God means when it says, make the most of your time because the days are evil. You're only going to get so much time and it's going to be gone just like that. It was 10 years since I went to the U.S. Open with my sons and walked the course. 10 years, boom, I thought it was it wasn't 2 years ago, was it? It was 10. 10 years, gone. I was a young man then. At 61 then. Wow. But, you know, just time flies. And it's a wise father who just helps kids know you've got to go to God's word and find out what it means in your busy lives right now as fathers and mothers. You've got to find out what it means to make the most of your time. You've got to find out what it means to invest your life in things that will matter for eternity and understand that you are not your own. You're not your own. But you're going to have to figure out what that means before God. So it's a really glad dad when his children are discovering on their own what it means to make the most of their time. I was thinking about the questions. I was trying to understand, you know, sometimes from time to time I ask you to look at the questions on the back of your note sheet. Right? I don't do it all the time, but I'm going to just ask you to look at the questions on the back of your note sheet. Some of you think this is extra credit. This isn't extra credit. This is critically important that you look at these questions. And I was wondering, which one should I point out to be the most important one? It would be numbers 1 through 6. I was thinking, these are good. These are important questions. Questions 1 through 6. Question 2, I was thinking about this. Every father has feet of clay. What does that mean, feet of clay? What's another way of saying he's got feet of clay? Some people say my expressions are a little bit, sometimes a little hard to understand. But he's not perfect, right? He's human. You're not a superhero. That was pretty good, Dennis. You and I acted that out very well. And we're all human. So the second part of this is, how was that evident in your father that he was merely human? I was thinking, here's this father fixing all these problems for the kids. Dennis has a. He let me use his cup last night, his coffee cup, and it says that he, the second thing I think on the list of a papa is he can fix the kids' toys. Yeah, I can't. You can do that, Dennis. I can't. I remember I thought my dad could fix anything, and my mom told me, some of you have heard me say this, I think, my mom said that she was pregnant with my sister, and I was, I think I must have been about 3, and I was downstairs with mom as she was washing clothes, and it was around Easter time, and my dad had brought home a couple little baby chicks, and my mom's washing clothes, and she had the water in the wash tub, and all of a sudden, she turned around, and she said she was 8.5 months pregnant, and she looked in the wash tub, and there were the 2 baby chicks that were, they were kicking their last, they were done. And so she's trying to keep from losing it, and she scooped the chicks out, and she put them on the floor, and I said, "That's okay, Mom. Dad will fix them when he comes home." That's when I discovered my dad had feet of clay. Couldn't fix chicks. So, but the question here is, how did you handle it when you realized that your dad had feet of clay, that he wasn't perfect, that he goofs up and makes mistakes? How'd you handle that? Some of you very easily could still be struggling with that. I know one man in our church that one day went to the cemetery and stood over his dad's grave. And he knows his dad couldn't hear. But he just had to resolve. He kind of had to put this aside once and for all. And he said, "I know you did your best." He said, "I can't tell you how many times I dragged my dad drunk out of a bar. I was a young man. I'm doing this with my father. I didn't want that kind of a thing." But how have you resolved in your own heart your own parents' feet of clay? Well, back to the third point. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. God has been... it says, love the Lord with all your heart and soul. Actually, I skipped out of order here, but just speaking of that, loving the Lord, how do you know your kids love the Lord? How does it express itself? And dads, how do you express yourself in showing your love and modeling that before your kids? There's a lot of different ways, but it's where the real integrity is in what you do. We saw a rerun of one of our favorite little sitcoms, and if you watch it, you'd know which one I'm talking about. It was on this week, and this couple are talking on the phone, and just before they sign off, they say, he says to her, "Can that expression, love ya, just before we hang up, love ya, can we, maybe we should just quit that?" And she said, What? How many of you do the love you with somebody before you hang up? Come on. Anyway, I remember my dad and I used to do that. My mom and dad, and then, we'd do that it's the family, and just before we're done, he said, "Can we just quit that?" She said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, it doesn't. It's just so special. It's just kind of like signing off, So can we just quit? Next time, it's not that we don't love each other. Maybe we could just, when we say love you, it should be a special moment. Okay? And she said, oh, okay, that sounds kind of cool. That sounds kind of cool. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Bye. And he hung up. 5 seconds later, the phone rings, and she picks it up, and he says, I love you. Well, I love you too. Love you. Hang up. So how does God know you love him? How do you model that in front of your kids? How did your dad, and how do you know your kids? I'm trying to scoop everybody in here. How do your kids show you they love God? Well, it happens when you discover they're on their knees. When you discover that they're releasing things to God. You know it when you hear them praise God, when you hear them give thanks to God, when you hear them or you worship with them. When you worship with them, you know what their favorite songs are. You know that they tug at the soul of your child. And a dad is glad when he knows his kids love God. And then the one that I had just skipped over, I got it out of order for a moment, and that is that to serve the Lord your God. You know, a dad is glad when he knows his kids are serving him. Now, I could say right now, hey, guys, if you love the Lord, you'll be at the work day next Saturday. Because that's called serving, right? That's serving. And I've been here for two of the Saturdays that the people from El Calvario are here, and they have been, I mean, wow, they've been all over this facility and getting things ready. And they have been working like crazy. They've given their Saturdays, and they are working. So that's serving. And I'm just saying it would be great for us to get to know these people and come and work with them. By the way, not everybody from that church is pulling for Mexico, because you know, at least half of them are not from Mexico. And they're really not. So it's not the Mexican church. It is the Spanish-speaking congregation, and we are the English-speaking congregation. And some of us might pull for Mexico, and some of us might be pulling for ISL, which is what? Way to go, George. Iceland, yeah. Bunch of tall Scandinavians who are Icelandic. Barbara's been to Iceland, right? Or Greenland. And Paula. All right. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord comes in all sorts of packages. All sorts of packages. Sometimes it is scrubbing things that people will put their hands on. Sometimes it's that kind of serving the Lord. But other times, the serving the Lord is that person that will pour out his or her emotions to stand alongside of someone else. And they're just there for them. There are so many ways to serve the Lord. Both of the people who influenced our friends who came here to have a memorial service this past weekend, both of them were families that served the Lord and were serving the Lord to come alongside of people and recommend that this could be a good place for them to have a service for their loved ones. Serving the Lord is in the lives of people who teach and the lives of people who are loyal friends, who are the kind of friends that are willing to lay it on the line and say, you know, I think you need to reconsider what you're doing. I think you need to reconsider your behavior. I just read this week, once again, in the book of Proverbs, that a loyal friend is just a most valuable brother or sister in Christ. Serving the Lord means sometimes we have to lay our friendship on the line and correct a friend. There's so many ways to serve, but A glad dad is someone who knows his kids can be that kind of loyal friend. Glad dads. Trophies? I don't even think my dad knew I got these trophies. But I hope my dad was a glad dad because of the content of my character and my walk with God. That's what matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray that even as we've been talking about fathers, happy fathers, I pray, Father, my Heavenly Father, that when you look at me, it would be, I know it will be, through your heart of grace and loyal love. I pray that I will be responding to the way you father me. And I pray that I would grow more and more to resemble in my behavior, to resemble you, my Heavenly Father. And I pray, Father, that my kids, the kids from this congregation of all ages, would understand how much you want to be that Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.